Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Drunks in the News will be coming up. We can tell you how you can be a part of Drunks in the News. It's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. Every time you go to the Gale Street Inn in Jefferson Park on Milwaukee, you will have a great meal. Tell them I sent you. And say hi to George, my main man, George Karzis, who runs the Gale Street Inn. And we thank them for sponsoring Drunks in the News. And if you're part of Drunks in the News as our drunk reader, you get yourself a $50 gift card from the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet, where Patrick Kane often dines. We also have Straight Out of Context as well. All that is coming up, but we have to finish up the movie reviews. Colin Suter is out of town right now, so he's not with us tonight. He'll be back next week. But we have Eric Childress from eFilmCritic.com, and we have other movies to talk about as well. All right, Eric, tell us about what you thought of The Purge.
Okay. Well, this is, you know, as we sort of, you know, hinted at, this is the kind of film where it's endlessly more entertaining to sort of debate the idea behind it than actually watching it. I mean, the entire, not only just sort of the politics of this thing, but like, you know, like what, you know, what crime would you commit? You know, what, you know, if you committed mail fraud in those 12 hours, you know, does it count when you put it in the mailbox or, you know, when it arrives at its destination? you know, just all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And it seems the director of this film, you know, either he started with the idea behind it, and then just found himself just with no creativity whatsoever and where to take it, or he worked backwards and he just wanted to create sort of a simple home invasion thriller, and then had to figure out how to solve the problem of cops and cell phones and stuff like that. You know, just sort of, you know, get that, you know, stuff out of
right,
the way.
Right.
And you know, even if you forget the, you know, if you just want to say that the premise is just a setup for, you know, a B-movie thriller, that the kind of thing that we would have seen in, like, the 70s or 80s on a low-budget B-movie scale, that's fine, except the home invasion element of it is not very good either. It's certainly nothing we haven't seen before. You've seen Precinct 13. The movie is very reminiscent of The Strangers, which I thought was a much better horror film.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Straw Dogs is another one.
Straw Dogs, yeah. Absolutely. The movie pretty much turns into Straw Dogs in the final 20 minutes, in a way. But again, I don't think it even leaves up to the remake of Straw Dogs.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The people, the crowd we saw with the other night, they seem to really respond when, you know, Ethan Hawke starts defending his family and whatnot. But, you know, it's really too little too late, because there's no one really worth rooting for in this movie. All the characters are either, you know, kind of hateful or really, really, really stupid, especially the two kids. And then it kind of has this sort of this third act twist in the thing that is really pretty ridiculous. I thought this was a really, really bad movie.
No, okay, that's too bad. I was intrigued by it. I guess I'm happy I didn't have time to see it today.
You might, I don't know. I mean, there are people that are really sort of, you know, forgetting, they're playing up the home invasion stuff, and just like, oh, it's just a home invasion thriller. Yeah, but a really, really squandered good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, cool. All right, let's see. Let's talk about the internship, shall we?
Let's do that.
All right. The Internship is the latest film to feature Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, who, if you can believe, it was 9 years ago. What's the deal with the nine-year period, time period thing?
I don't know.
If you can believe it was 9 years ago, starred in an inexplicably popular film called Wedding Crashers. And I really mean that, inexplicably. I don't understand how people love that movie. Well, anyway, in this movie, you know, they're considerably older now. They're like in their 40s. And I never quite understood how you can be a successful wristwatch salesman.
Not in 2013.
In this day and age. Because,
yeah.
I don't, you know, I mean, everybody checks, you know, their cell phones. I mean, I know, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people wear watches, but not many people do anymore.
Yeah.
So anyway, there are a couple of hotshot guys who you know, have they work for a wristwatch company, and they end up losing their jobs. And there's a cameo. Do people know who their boss is? Has that leaked?
The watch boss?
Yeah.
That's in the trailer.
Oh, it is?
The sofa, the mattress.
Oh, no, that boss. Yeah, that
that's
part.
That's a cameo.
Okay, all right. So that, I don't want to mention that. I don't want to ruin it for anybody. Although it's not much of a surprise.
No.
You know, it was inevitable that this person was going to be in it.
Yeah.
So
no,
anyway.
The boss is in the trailer.
The boss that's, yeah, okay. So Anyway, they lose their job, and you know, they're looking around, and times are obviously really tough. And Vince Vaughn discovers that, you know, they could get an internship at Google, and they basically show up at Google as interns. They have to start at the bottom of the rung, and then the rest of the movie is jokes about how they're old guys, and there's all these young kids, and they're not getting paid to do it, and there's a fictional subplot involving a contest to win a job that doesn't exist in real life. And then the whole thing kind of just turns out to be a massive commercial for Google. How many times do they say this is awesome in the movie?
That I don't know, but I know someone said they kept count of the Google has said in some form or another like 45 times.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So anyway, and then there's like this, you know, there's a subplot, you know, involving Owen. Well, there's a you know, a love affair subplot that involves a romance subplot that involves Owen Wilson and an incredibly wasted Rose Byrne,
yeah,
who has absolutely nothing to do in this movie, and then Vince Vaughn continuing to play, you know, the jerk character that he's, you know, that he plays in every movie now. Essentially, the older guys, the Vince Vaughn guys and the Owen Wilson guys, are going to learn lessons here from their younger crew, and what they're going to impart to the younger crew is how to get loaded in strip clubs. That's essentially what they provide for the younger audience, for the younger guys. Now, I did laugh a few times during this movie. I laughed at this more than I did Wedding Crashers.
Wow,
I did.
Okay.
I did, because I hated Wedding Crashers. I thought that movie was terrible. Now, this is a bad movie. There's no question about it. It's a really bad movie.
Yeah.
There were a few moments that made me laugh. I was just angry at so many talented people being wasted in this film. I mean, like I mentioned, Rose Byrne, especially Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
There are a couple of moments in the movie that I think are kind of funny, and it made me laugh a little bit here and there. But overall, a massive commercial for Google. The continuing Vince Vaughn slide into, you know, every movie he does the same. He's the same guy in every single movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, at this point, Vince Vaughn to me has reached the Jennifer Lopez We Got Fooled level. you know what I mean? Like when I saw, what the hell's a Cedar Soda?
Out of Sight.
When I saw Out of Sight, I was like, oh, she's good.
Yeah.
I like her. And Vince Vaughn, when I saw Swingers, I'm like, oh, he's great.
Yeah.
And I even liked him in Clay Pigeons. And then... since then, he's basically been doing the same thing over and over again. And, you know, I will say this. There have been times when he starred in movies that I thought were more interesting than I had expected. Number one being the Ron Howard movie.
The Dilemma.
Yeah, which I think is a pretty good film. I actually caught up with that again on cable not too long ago. And you know what? It's a solid film. And I like Vince Vaughn in it. So, I mean, I think he's got the capability, but he just, you know, he's executive producer of all these movies. This guy he wrote this with wrote The Watch, which was awful. This is a really, really bad movie, and I didn't expect it to be good, and it was exactly what I expected it to be. It's not good, and most of all, it's a massive waste of some good talent.
Well, I mean, I only somewhat agree with you about Wedding Crashers. For one, I think Wedding Crashers is an incredibly overrated comedy. But I clearly like it a lot more than you do. I think that movie kind of crashes and burns in its third act. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think that movie's pretty funny. But, you know, one of the reasons is that it's an R-rated comedy.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons it did so well. It was sort of signaling that sort of return to the R-rated comedy. And then later that summer, 40-Year-Old Virgin came out and kicked it, you know, right in the teeth.
Right.
And this one is a really limp PG-13 film. I was reminded a lot of Real Genius during it, the whole idea of the sort of the square kids that are going to be, you know, sort of influenced by the older, wiser, you know, quote-unquote smarter guy.
Yeah. Man, but, you know, to mention Real Genius in the same sentence as this movie.
I know. It's a complete insult.
That's
I apologize.
Brutal.
Mark Coolidge and Neil Israel. And
yeah, because Real Genius is an awesome film.
It absolutely is. Yeah. It totally is. But that was the vibe that I got.
Yeah, you know, no, I can see
idea.
That. I can see
like,
that.
Like, they take him to the strip club. I always love it when, like, the smart women in the film are sort of, reduced to, you know, having to let loose by getting drunk and, you know, dancing in cages.
Right.
And stuff. I love that
stereotype
in films.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the guys learn from the kids in this one other than Vince Vaughn's got this arc that he quits stuff. and he's going to learn not to quit something.
Right.
You know, even though there's that moment where he quits something
right.
and then has to come back. Yeah, no, I kind of chuckled a couple times during this movie, but yeah, it's a complete, I mean, it's not just a commercial for Google. It is a, you know, a birthday present, you know, wrapped in, you know, ice cream sundae for Google.
Yeah.
I mean, it's treated like Disneyland, and they say more than twice in the movie that Google has the power to change people's lives.
Yeah.
I got news for Google. I use Yahoo.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't, you know, there's more than one search engine out there. I don't understand the obsession with Google, other than it's a fun name to say.
Yeah.
But no, this isn't a bad comedy. It's better than Hangover 3.
It is better than Hangover
3. That's the best thing I can say about it.
But I will say this: it's also incredibly long.
Oh God, 119 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, this thing felt, you know, like there was still a half an hour to go, and I was like, oh really?
Yeah.
Seriously.
And I don't understand. I mean, I know they're old guys, and that's the joke. But these are quote unquote old guys that are kind of in my generation, in a way. They're supposed to be sort of, you know, sort of like late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
I think they're supposed to be in the movie.
Yeah.
And so they're throwing around Flashdance references, but they don't know who Charles Xavier is.
Right.
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know. It's bad. It's just bad. All right, Eric, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
We got more to talk about. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Midnight Movie Reviews continue right here on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of Tribune Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. Midnight Movie Reviews continue. Tons of movies came out in the theaters this week. Tons of movies came out via On Demand, and we review all them for you. Colin will be back with us next week, and Eric is with me now. All right, Eric, tell us again, since you talked about this one some time ago, tell us again about The Kings of Summer, which is now has opened in Chicago at three theaters.
Yeah, The Kings of Summer was one of the films to come out of the Sundance Film Festival this year, and it's the story of a group of teenage boys who not exactly enthusiastic about their living conditions with their parents for various quirks and things, and they discover a place in the woods somewhere near home. That's very uninhabited, sort of, you know, kind of isolated, and they decide that they're going to build their own house in the middle of the woods, and then sort of just kind of basically run away from home and, you know, live on their own, not go to school, not tell anyone where they're at, just, you know, basically hang out there and eat Boston Market and try to live off the land. The film at Sundance, it was originally entitled Toys House. The main kid in the movie, his last name is Toy, correct? The family
yes.
name is Toy?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I remember it. And that was retitled to The Kings of Summer. The main kid's father is played by Nick Offerman, who, for my money, completely steals this movie. I think he's incredibly funny in the movie, has a couple of really nice moments of sort of self-dramatics. I don't think the movie is in completely successful in the sort of the coming age venue that the setting, this woods isolation, sort of the potential to allow for like a Stand By Me kind of thing. I know a lot of people are trying to make that comparison. I don't think it comes close to that. For me, the real reason to see this movie is Nick Offerman scenes, and one of the three kids is really very, very strange young lad who provides a lot of laughs just by being weird. I don't think it's a great film, but I think when it's funny, it's really funny, and it was one of the films that I did like out of Sundance this year.
Yeah, it's flawed, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell that you can tell that the guys who have made this movie, the writers and the director, cut their teeth in like sitcoms and Funny or Die stuff.
Yes,
because it feels that way. It has a lot of sitcom sensibility to it. Offerman's great in it. I mean, he's hilarious and really good. Mm-hmm. And it did, you know, as far as coming of age movies go, where kids are in the woods, trying to escape their family unit. Mudd's the one to see.
Oh, clearly.
You know, I mean, that's the definitive one as far as I'm concerned. But there's fun stuff in this movie. I think the kids are okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way it compares to Stand By Me. And there's no way that it compares to Mud. But on a sort of a simple, you know, sitcom-y level, it's entertaining. You know, I could think of killing 90 minutes off in a worse way. And, mm-hmm. and once again, watching Nick Offerman is always a treat. So.
Yeah.
Not bad. I recommend it. So it's the Kings. Yeah. Kings, not a great film, but I think worth seeing. That's Kings of Summer. Okay, now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Eric, we're going to talk about, you're going to tell us about the East,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll both talk about the documentary about Ricky Jay.
Yes.
All right, that'll be coming up right here on WGN, but the news is first, and then after we review those two movies, it'll be time for Drunks in the News, sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. Awesome place, and tell them I sent you. And we also have Straight Out of Context and more. It's all right here on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Like us on Facebook and join the almost 8,600 other fans that we have. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. News is coming up. Julio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Tons of movies came out this week, and we covered all the on-demand stuff, and we're covering all the theater stuff. Colin Suter, not with us this week. He'll be back next week, and Eric is with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
Okay, tell us about The East.
Okay, The East is a film involving starring Britt Marling, which she also co-wrote, and she stars as... a woman who works for an intelligence firm that sort of looks out for the interests of major corporations. And she's hired to infiltrate this group known as the East, this anarchist group that sort of strikes back against corporations that have somehow wronged society, wronged the environment, et cetera, et cetera. So she goes undercover in this agency that's led by Alexander Skarsgård. And also employs Ellen Page. So the movie is sort of this kind of back and forth where her ideals and her morals are sort of tested. You know, she sets out to, you know, to expose this group at first, but then sort of gets into their lifestyle and their, you know, their way of life and really, you know, sort of seeing the underbelly of what some of these corporations have done. It's definitely an idea for a movie. I wish there was one that was made that wasn't so cliched and overwrought and heavy-handed and poorly made. The people of Britt Marling is the co-writer along with Zal Batmanglia. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They did a film called Sound of My Voice not too long ago. Britt Marling also wrote a really excruciating sci-fi parable called Another Earth. I don't really understand the fascination with this Britt Marling person, other than people are sort of intrigued by, you know, her sort of being a pretty face. I honestly don't know. I don't think she has very much talent as a writer. This film is so overwrought at times. There's a whole sequence where the East sort of poisons this corporation headed by Julia Ormond, and they sort of give them a taste of their own medicine. And the medicine, which normally takes, like, you know, several years for people who ingest it, begins to take effect, like, over days with these people. So it's really ridiculous. It's so contrived and really quite a bad movie. I don't know why people are giving this thing such a pass.
I'm interested. Two of my favorite actresses are in this movie. I love Ellen Page. And is, mm-hmm. she, is she wasted in this?
She's probably the best thing in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's the one person who kind of understands the stuff that they're going for. Clearly, it's something that she's probably involved with herself, not anarchy, but just being against, you know, the poisoning of society and stuff. But Patricia Clarkson being the other one.
That would be the other one, yeah.
Yeah, she plays the head of the intelligence firm that hires or the, sends Britt Marling on her mission. So she plays sort of the, you know, the hardcore, tough as nails,
right,
you know, person. Yeah, so I, they're, those two, they're probably the best thing about the film. And Skarsgård is good. I enjoy Skarsgård more and more every time I see him. But it's a terrible screenplay, really a terrible screenplay.
All right. Give us a real quick the background on Deceptive Practice. This is the Mysteries and Mentors of Ricky Jay.
Well, yeah, this is, I mean, this is a documentary about Ricky Jay, you know, a very well-known magician. People know him very well from the works of David Mamet. He seems to be in every one of his movies, and Paul Thomas Anderson's as well. It's a film that, you know, sort of follows his career and, you know, sort of the influences that made him, you know, want to get into magic and the fascinations he has with magic. That's basically what you get. It's in many ways, it's sort of an extension of, if you saw his HBO special that was directed by David Mamet, Ricky Jay and His 52 Assistants, which I don't think is available anywhere.
I was actually lucky enough to see that live.
Yeah. Oh, God bless you, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's really one of my favorite hour specials that I've ever seen. It's just absolutely fascinating.
It's amazing. Amazing.
So great. And then this film feels like an extension of that. I mean, there's a lot of that special in this movie, and in that special where he gives a lot of, while he's doing all his really crazy tricks, he's giving you a lot of background information about the history of magic and people who perform such tricks. And you get a lot of that background information here, people that influenced him. And that stuff is really fascinating. Ricky Jay is a fascinating guy. He's an unbelievable magician. I felt a little bit cheated watching this documentary because I so love 52 Assistants so much that to see him on previous like television specials and magic hours and things like that I had never seen before.
Yeah.
Where he sort of workshopped some of that material.
Yep.
There are moments in 52 Assistants that felt spontaneous were actually old jokes.
That's right, man.
That he had done before. And I felt a little bit cheated watching that.
Well, you know, he's a con man too, man. You know,
yeah, that's very true. So. It's very true. And then, there's an old TV bit where he was on a show with Steve Martin.
Yep.
In this documentary, that is one of my favorite moments of the year.
It's so great. It was an old Dinosaur show.
That's right.
And he does Three Card Monty with Steve Martin.
It's
so great. It's so great. I thought this was pretty great, man. I'm a huge Ricky Jay fan.
Sure.
I've loved him since. I remember, you know, his appearances on those talk shows in the 70s.
Yeah.
And when he started popping up in like Mammoth's movies and stuff, and I mean he's so funny in House of Games with the water gun.
That was my first introduction to him.
Was House of Games?
House of Games. Which, yeah. Speaking of bars, you'd like to have recreated.
There you go. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. but yeah, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people's first exposure to Ricky Jay was that. I mean, if they didn't watch these things in the 70s or follow, you know, magic around. And, you know, the fact that he, you know, he's, you know, I mean, the guy narrates my favorite movie of all time.
Magnolia. You
know, the opening 10 minutes of Magnolia, and he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
I love this guy. This I thought was a really great documentary. The thing I love most about this is the reverence with which he speaks of the people that mentored him.
Yes.
And the footage that you get to see of these guys. These guys
who
probably nobody has ever even heard of before.
Yeah.
And who were extraordinarily talented. You never know. The thing about Ricky Jay is, you know, when you see his one-man shows or whatever, when you saw 52 Assistants, and even in this, and even when he's on talk shows, I mean, you never know if this guy is on the up and up. Ever. And that he always, you know, he's one of those guys who will always keep you on edge. You know, like if I were to meet, I've never met him, but if I were to meet him, I'd be a little leery of whether he was going to walk away with my wallet or something.
Well, it's kind of interesting that the documentary, you know, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward documentary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great stuff in it, but it's the kind of film that could have taken like a Man on the Moon type approach to it and just kind of like mixed things up and like kept you sort of on edge, like what was, you know, that just would have been another way to take it, but the way it is, I think is really solid.
I do too. It's very entertaining, and it's only playing at the Music Box, so if you get a chance, get to the Music Box and see it. I really liked it, and if you're a fan of Ricky Jay, you must see it.
Yeah,
it's a must see. All right, what do we got next week? We've got the stupid Superman movie, right? I haven't seen it yet, so
we have Man of Steel,
right?
Yes, and we have This Is the End.
Oh, that's right. This Is the End. That's a Wednesday opening, isn't it?
That is a Wednesday opening. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm not on next week. So let's. You know what? Can we do this Saturday night? Let's do the. Let's do. Are you going to be?
We can.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get. I'll contact Colin. Let's do the midnight movie reviews on Saturday night. Black and Blue opens Friday.
Yeah, okay.
So I will be at my opening night, so I'm going to miss work on Friday night. Pete McMurray's going to be sitting in for me. So we'll do the midnight movie reviews on Saturday, a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, Eric. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
No problem,
take
man.
Take care. Eric Childress, efilmcritic.com. All the movies thoroughly reviewed so you can make your plans for the weekend. And if you missed anything, it's all podcasts. The full-length podcast. You won't miss any reviews of the on-demand movies and the movies that are in the theaters. Okay? Quick break. We come back. It's time for Drunks in the News. Brought to you by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. Ah, yes. That's right. When you hear this song, you know it's time for us to gather up all the true news stories. These are real stories of stupid drunk people doing stupid drunk stuff while they're stupid and drunk. We read them all together, and we call it Drunks in the News. And if you want to be a part of Drunks in the News, find the link to a funny drunk story. Hey, send an email to Craig. Say, I want to be on the air and read this. And send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. That's C-C-O-L-L-I-N-S. ccollins@wgnradio.com. Craig will get a hold of you. We'll record it. And then you get to be on the air, part of the show. Read the drunk story, and you get yourself a $50 gift card from the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn, and George and everybody over there. Thank you guys for being awesome, and thank you for sponsoring Drunks in the News. Mark is our drunk reader, and we'll hear from him a little bit later on, and that's how you can become part of it, and here we go.
I want to tell you a story.
Yeah.
About the house rent blue.
Drunk number one. Drunk number one. A man streaking landed him behind bars after he allegedly ran through his neighborhood naked while very intoxicated Wednesday morning. Cincinnati police arrested Sean Welsh on Wednesday at about 12:50 a.m. after they say he ran from his residence to a nearby house without any clothes on. Authorities caught up to the 39-year-old, who they found hiding inside a dryer in a neighbor's house. He was very intoxicated, according to the police report, but officials have not released information about his blood alcohol level at the time of the arrest. At the time of the arrest, Welsh was only wearing boxer shorts. Welsh was charged with disorderly conduct and appeared in court Wednesday morning, where a judge sentenced him to 5 days in prison, and he will be released from jail then.
I notice when I come home in the evening, she ain't got nothing nice to say to me.
Drunk number two, drunk number two. A burglar has been found passed out in the pub he was trying to steal from after drinking too much beer. Adam Bell helped himself to so much alcohol that he fell asleep on the bar floor and was found by the landlord the next morning. The 36-year-old smashed fruit machines and pool machines in M's Bar in Staffordshire and before pocketing the money inside. CCTV images show him leaning against the bar as if he was waiting to be served before leaning over and pouring directly into his mouth. The sleeping thief was found by the bar's landlord, Mike Roberts, and his friend Wesley Roberts, 7:30 a.m. the next day. Wesley told the Mirror, "It was scary. We saw a body on the floor. We didn't know if he was alive or dead. I shoved him, and he woke up. That's when we realized it was a burglar and called the police. Two men held on to the thief until police arrived, when police found he was also carrying three wraps of crack cocaine. Bell was arrested and jailed for 6 months.
I'm outdoors, you know. Can I stay with you maybe a couple days?
Drunk number three. Drunk number three. A curly red-haired Tega K man drove into the customer order screen at a Fort Mill McDonald's and hurled profanities at employees at the drive-thru window before police found him in a parked car outside of his house on Saturday. About 3 a.m., deputies were dispatched to the McDonald's on West SC-160. After an employee called police to report that Jonathan Blessing, 20, screamed at employees and stuck his head through the drive-thru window because the restaurant was closed. He finally drove away, circling the building and smashing into the order screen before backing his car off of it and driving away. The screen was slumped to one side, dented and cracked, and the voice reception on it was muffled. Employees gave police the car's tag information, which pointed to Blessing as the car owner. Police found the car parked at a house, report states. The deputy saw Blessing in the driver's seat. Blessing told police he had just finished partying with a friend and drank a Budweiser and wine. He initially denied anything happening at McDonald's, but then told police that he was not upset with the restaurant and would pay for the damages. He failed a field sobriety test and registered a 0.13 blood alcohol level. Police charged him with driving under the influence and malicious injury to property. He was released from jail on Saturday with more than a $6,000 bond.
I called a bartender. So look, man, come down here. He got down there.
Drunk number four. Drunk number four. Drunk number four. Drunk number four is our guest drunk reader for the week. This is Mark with drunk number four.
I ain't cut out to climb highland poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
This is Mark reading for Drunks in the News. A South Dakota woman was busted for breaking into another woman's house and attempting to breastfeed her two-month-old baby, police said. The mom told police she was awakened by the sounds of barking dogs and discovered 24-year-old Rebecca Silva snoozing in her bed around 5 a.m. Sunday. Silva then picked up the baby and tried to nurse her, said Lieutenant Derek Powers of the Brookings, South Dakota Police. The frightened mom got Silva to hand over the baby and then rushed out to call 911. After the resident called police, she found the suspect lying in her bed, said Powers, who added that Silva appeared to have been drinking. Silva, 24, insisted that she never tried to feed the infant and that the woman, whom she met the night before, invited her in. I did not break into her house, she told the Associated Press. She gave me her pajamas. She lied to the cops that I broke into her house. I did not try to feed her baby. That didn't happen. Silva, who was charged with unlawful occupancy, conceded that they had been drinking and quarreled with the mom before she was arrested. She was released on her own recognizance. This is Mark reading for Drunks in the News.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And, okay, it is time to vote. We've got Mark's story about the drunk young lady who tried to breastfeed the mother's baby. We got the drunk burglar found passed out in a pub. We got the guy running around his neighborhood naked, hiding in a dryer when the cops found him. And the drunk guy who smashed into a McDonald's drive-thru screen and screened obscenities. Who are you going with, Craig?
I'm going to go with the guy who hid in the dryer.
Guy who hid in the dryer. Yeah. All right. And Roger?
Yeah, I like the McDonald's guy because it's something I'm sure we all have wanted to do from time to time, but I'll go with the dryer guy.
Yeah, the dryer guy. I mean, the fact that he and evidently he was running naked, and evidently he found boxer shorts in the dryer because when the cops found him, he had boxers on.
Yeah, because I was trying to match that up with the beginning of the story where you said he was naked.
Yeah, he must have found some.
He must have found the missing pair of boxers. You know, when you do your laundry, you're always missing a pair.
Yep. All right. Unfortunately, it was his neighbor's house. Now, Mark, you get yourself a $50 gift certificate to the Gale Street Inn, and we thank George and everybody at the greatest restaurant on the planet. So, always remember, same bat time next week, same bat channel for Drunks in the News. Drunks in the News! Brought to you by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. All right, you know what this is. This is where you listen to our radio station 24-7, to every single person on this radio station. Everybody's a target. When somebody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. All right, what do we got?
We have six this week.
Okay.
The first one comes from Trucker Al, and this is Andrea Darlis on Gary Meyer's show.
Choking down there.
Okay.
Choking down there.
From Jeff, this is Mike McConnell.
Okay.
The one where it automatically gives you like 10 inches worth. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's quite a waste.
I need more than that. Let's go, pal.
From Larry B., this is Brian Noonan.
Okay. Know how to straddle this jobber and get to work. Know how to straddle this jobber and get to work.
All right.
From Wild Bill, this is Gary Meyer.
I still have a tickle on my instrument.
Okay, next.
From Wild Bill, it's Gary Meyer.
I put out some feelers and nobody felt me.
And from Chris, it's Gary Meyer.
Find the stud and get it in there. You'll be fine.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, that's how it works. And again, if you hear my name mentioned on any show or the show is mentioned in any capacity, you can be a Nick D Show spy. All these things, send the emails to CCOLLINS, that's C Collins at WGNRadio.com.